This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on October 21, 2025 in Goshen, Indiana.
Well, greetings, everyone, in the name of our precious name, Jesus, again. And greetings, everyone, from Lancaster County to the people here in Goshen, Indiana. As I was introduced, it was pretty much correct. I'm married to Lucy, my wife, but it was missed in the handout that she's famous. She's very famous to me, anyhow. And it also says I'm a member of the Old Order Mennonite Church. It's also known as the Joseph Wenger Group. But you may hear me say I'm from the Joe Wenger Church. Richie Lauer from Anabaptist would say I am very Joe Wenger, and he spells it C-H-O-V-E-N-G-E-R. So if my English sounds a little funny, it's because I was pulled up Dutch. So also in the bio, in the speaker bio, it says I am 54 years. Well, it doesn't say that, but more information, that's not there. I'm 54 years old, I'm 6'3" tall, and I weigh 195 pounds. And I'm full of myself. So why did Arlen Kramer get somebody to speak that's full of himself? I could say I was born that way, just the way I am. It's the way mankind was ever since the fall of Adam. But my intent is not to promote myself, but just talk about some of the experiences. Talk about a few of my failures, which there'd be enough of those to talk about the rest of the week. But by no means don't think I have everything mastered I'm going to talk about today. But rather, I'd rather have you leave here and say this man has issues. It's easier to speak a sermon or to speak a topic than it is to live one. And I thought speaking here was hard. But praise God, He gave us the power to do something about self. He only made possible by His power and grace. So business owners, we all have this great opportunity to be a missionary in our business. We're in the position to influence the souls we are in contact with every day, customers and employees. Now that sounds pretty serious. Boy, it is serious. Today we heard about a lot of good business practices. Maybe just a little bit about making money. Making money, of course, is important because our income is not greater than our output, we will not be in business long. It's just that simple. But the end of life, what really matters, there's a moral side of business that's more important than making money. If we gain the whole world and lose our own soul, we have lost everything. So my topic, as was said, is we are called to be the stewards of the souls of men. So what is a steward? Someone who takes care of someone else's possessions. The Bible talks quite a bit about stewards in the Old and the New Testament. I like this passage in 1 Peter 4:10. As every man has received the gift, Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards, as the manifold grace of God. Everyone was given a spiritual gift to be a good steward of. I like to think of a steward how it relates to our time, our money, our talents. Everything he gave us is a tool for God's kingdom. So the primary thought of the Bible is we are called to be stewards of the gospel. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain asked God that question, but he didn't answer him directly because I think he already knew the answer. We are called to be keepers of many things, keepers of our mind, our souls, our body. We are called to be keepers of our siblings, our moms are to be keepers of the home, fathers to be the keepers as the head of the family. We're called to be keepers of our mouth. Now that's a tough one for me, because my mouth gets me into trouble even though I speak too slow. But we are called to be keepers and stewards of the people we are in contact with every day. Most of you here are strangers to me, or you were this morning. I learned to know a few of you. And I would say, looking at you, you have no faults. You're perfect to me. But I think I'll just move here. It seems so good. So everyone, I hope everyone here considers themselves to be a Christian. So why are we a Christian? What is a Christian? And why are we a Christian? Christian is somebody, people who believe Christ died for our sins. That's a Christian. So why are we a Christian? Are we only a Christian so we look good to our community, so we look good in the church? Are we only a Christian only to escape hell? If we are only worried about self and not of our fellow men, we will be very miserable Christians. What is in Best Instructions Manual for Business? I'm not an ordained minister, but I like to refer to Scripture. It is the best reference guide a business owner has. Scripture takes care of all soul-caring issues. God is eternal, all-powerful, ever-present, unchanging, infinite, all-knowing, holy, and just. He's everything. Our scripture resources are infallible, unlimited, and comprehensive. However, if we anchor our business on self, we are limited to our own understanding, our own experiences. Jesus' ministry here on earth reflected his Father's will through his words and examples, so should we reflect Christ in our business. Ask yourself, am I painting a picture of God in my business? Lead as a shepherd. There's this book here that I like. It's called The Way of the Shepherd. I would recommend to read. There's a lot of books out there, but it's a small book, and it's just what I need for my feeble brain to comprehend something that's small and easy to understand. It talks about being a shepherd. Let the master shepherd be our role model. It talks about the sheep, how to lead the sheep. Most animals, like cattle, have to be driven, but sheep works better to lead them. So what works best for your workers, to drive them or to lead them? If you are willing, you can be a good shepherd. The book talks about checking the fences to keep out the predators like bad influences that destroy peace and harmony. Keep the pasture free from poisonous weeds like bad language or sinful music. Do the sheep have good spiritual water to drink that produce fruits of the Spirit? How many of you here would say managing employees is the hardest part of your business? Raise your hand. Well, I was glad not to see everybody raise their hand, because that can be a tough one. Employees can keep you awake at night. The man that causes me the most problem in my business is a man that's 54 years old, 6'3" tall, and it weighs 195 pounds. The man right here, I can't get away from myself. I have this big weakness of just working in my business and getting wrapped up in what I'm doing. Our focus should really be on the employees rather than the project at hand. They are really the ones that get the work done. Employees can be hard if you're young and inexperienced. I experienced those days. My dad passed away at age 75. When I was 25, Dad didn't have any employees. It was only Dad and the boys, just the family. Well, the boys took over a little before Dad died, and they sort of lost their mind. They let the business grow. And gone was Dad's vision of employees only. Many years and many employees later, we were trying to figure out how did we ever get here. So in my 20s is when the employees stressed me out the most. But be encouraged, as time goes on, experience is a good teacher. It taught me many things. Now that I'm older, employees are what I appreciate the most. I should go home and tell them that. Lead with compassion. Studies show that doctors who treat their patients with compassion have a better success rate. It also works for employees. Interact with your employees. Learn to know them personally. Keep your eyes and ears open if they ask for help, or if they ask to have off, or the father wanting to go to the school program, by all means let them have off. If they want to talk about personal problems, listen to them. Make sure you listen. Compassion only works if you really care. There's an old adage that says, people don't care what you know till they know what if you care. Lead by example. The first responsibility of any leader is to lead by example. You may be familiar with the quotes, actions speak louder than words, or preach the gospel every day, if use words if necessary, or more is caught than taught. This is true for parents, school teachers, or business owners. Build or cull the flock. Hire the right people. Attitude is more important than talent. Bad attitudes spread like cancer. Does your business attract good spiritual workers? Is it a place where fathers and mothers would feel comfortable in trusting their employer to make a safe workplace for their children? Possibly the first exposure to the outside real world. There was a contractor that had two different contractors in an area of the same church. So one contractor required their men to wear a hat and the other because wearing a hat was considered a sign of humility. The other contractor was more liberal, had more liberal guidelines. It was interesting to see how the hat crew attracted the best morals. Now, ideally, all parents would raise well-behaved, good-mannered, spiritually sound children ready to work for you. But that only happens in the fantasy world, not in real life. If they don't come from an ideal home life, consider giving them a chance anyway. Maybe if they're young, you can help them before they get old and set in the way like I am. So, I really appreciate my nephew Wilson. He takes teenagers under his wings and holds them accountable. He also lets them keep him accountable. One day he was being challenged by one of the boys, that young boys that he was admonishing, and he let him know, "You're not so good yourself." He said, "You drink way too much coffee and you drink too many energy drinks." And Wilson said, "Okay, I do. I'll promise to only drink one cup a day and no energy drink for 4 weeks if you keep up. Promise not to wander around and distract the other employees." This teenager thought, "Wow, this could be fun, keeping the boss accountable." But he wasn't sure he could keep up his end of the deal, so he said, "Well, let's try it for a week." So consider hiring older people or people with mental, physical handicaps. Life is not about hiring the best performers, making you the most money. Remember the account in the Bible when in the judgment day when God said, "I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. I needed a job and you didn't hire me." Well, maybe not the exact words, but it could be that. We have a responsibility to help the people in need, and it also helps teach our employees or our boys or our family that we have a responsibility of taking care of Lazarus at the gate. But we also need to be careful with not burning out our employees with heavy responsibility that we wouldn't want to take on. Employees are accountable to church authority, their own church. Church guidelines are like a fence around a beehive. It could be different kinds of fence. It could be woven wire. It could be chain link. But the intent of the fence is the same. It's not to keep the bees in. It's to keep the predators out, like the bears. So don't be trying to... You're not responsible to do the deacon's work, unless, of course, you are the deacon. But your responsibility is to make the deacon's work easy. Or easier. If you encourage your workers to respect the church authority of their own church, help them be good upbuilding members in their church. Employees should respect the standards of more conservative employees. If you have employees from a more conservative church than yours, encourage them to stay within the church guidelines and be respectful for the rules of their church. Don't ask them to do anything that would violate them. In our business, we have men working there that in their church, they may not drive a forklift that you sit down to drive. You can drive a forklift that you stand on to drive. So we got one of those for them. We have no right to say, "Well, that doesn't make sense to us. Just do it anyways. Nobody is looking. here that's... And don't be stealing sheep. I want to relate how a conversation went between me and my business partner. I was telling him one day how our church had taken a stand against employees working on computers that were connected to the internet, and I told him it looks like I may have to make a decision here. And he said, well, he wasn't very pleased about that. His response was, just come to my church, he said. Then all your problems are taken care of. But as our conversation proceeded, he continued to tell me the problems their church was having. He was complaining about the guidelines in their church and what was all wrong with that. All of a sudden, he stopped and raised his hand. He said, wait a minute, maybe it won't fix all your problems. He realized what he was doing. Some people say partnerships don't work. It worked wonderful for us. We got along most of the time. We still do. But our business had to come to an end. I had a business, a church, and a family. And they didn't fit together. I made this puzzle some time ago. This is me and the church, the business, and the family. And at one point, this business piece was too big. It didn't fit in this puzzle here. My son made this for me. And I had to cut something off. I could have cut off the church, made my business fit. But the decision was made to cut off my business. We sold our share of the business, and so if I want to just give that as an illustration, if you have something in your business that you cannot make a moral safe place for employees to work, maybe you should cut something off of your business rather than risking your employees to be led astray. Creating an environment where men and women can work together in moral safety. Be alert to warning signs when hiring. Check the reference on the applicant before. Are they a good, solid Christian with good morals? It's easier to not to hire than to deal with the consequences of making a bad choice. I remember when we needed an office person in our business and we found this lady, she had all the credentials for the job, but there were some warning signs. She was a big flirt. I think she was trying to impress us with flattering words and to get the job. But we weren't impressed. She ended up not being hired. Do not tolerate flirting or indecent dress or suggestive language. I asked one of my former employees, a young man, how can men and women work together safely? His reply was, well, that depends if she's good looking or not. I thought, wow, I can't say that, but I just did. The truth is, us men are very visual. If she's good looking in a bad way, she can bring us men down. We cannot be careful enough. We are never spiritually strong enough to play with fire and not get burned. If you don't have an employee handbook, get one or have a section in there about dress code or make sure you enforce it. I know there's a local grocery store in our area that all the women are required to wear long black stockings. This is the owner's church rules. So the only ones that are willing to submit those guidelines will be able to work there. Segregate genders. Keep men and women from working together closely. We're living in a time when men and women appear not to know which bathroom to use or which gender they are, or even if they are from mankind or if they're an animal or a cat or a dog. We are really in a dying world. If the Lord tarries and time goes on, it will only get worse. But don't give up. God promised to help us. He wants us to be dependent on Him. He promised to make a way to escape, that we're not tempted above able, that we are able to bear. My wife and I are part of the local burn and wound, the B&W team. She treats a lot of burns at home. She also goes to the local hospital burn unit and treats burn patients there if they allow it to be done. I'm on the board for the local burn and wound caregivers board. Our job is to support the caregivers and to be a liaison between the burn unit and the patient, the contact person. And we have a very strict policy to avoid cross-gender caregiving or in a situation where it's not possible to work alone and a man and wife can do it. Or we also try to stress not to break down the reserve of a young boy or a girl if she's burned in a private area. Keep men and women from working together closely. The famous evangelist Billy Graham had a code of conduct among male evangelical Protestant leaders to not spend time alone with a woman they were not married to. I heard it say it was to the point if they were riding in an elevator and the door would open and there was one woman in, they would not get in. If they were riding alone in the elevator and the door opens and one lady comes in, they would get out. They were never to be alone with another woman. Mike Pence, the former vice president, also a professing Christian, did not eat alone with another woman other than his wife, Karen. He never attended a party that featured alcohol without Karen at his side. To socially liberal and non-Christian people, this sounds bizarre, but to us Christians, it should be normal and considered wise. If you have a private office, I would encourage you to have a window in the door. And I never had a private office. I always liked to be out among the rest of the crew. But our top boss, Robert, he had a private office, but his door was always open. He welcomed everyone to walk right in and discuss any matter that he wanted. Safeguard internet access. Require accountability on devices. Filtering software on all internet capable devices, laptops, desktop, tablet, computers, and phones. In our church, our guidelines for tractors are we have to have steel wheels because that limits It limits the size of the tractor or the combine or the harvester, and it also helps us keep the speed down on the road. Our church allows some computers, but they have to have steel wheels on them. For lack of a better term, it's... So one of the restrictions is no internet, web browser, but we'd be foolish to think this alone will keep us safe. Wherever the church guidelines are, that's where the battle is. We can never think if we would have a little bit more, then we would be happy. It just doesn't work that way. Technology is changing faster than we can react. I talked to my former partner about this issue, since a lot has changed since I was disconnected from the internet, and he said it continues to be a moving target. It comes down to accountability and convictions. They still use Compass Foundation filtering software. It's called Drawbridge. But whatever filter you have, it still takes conviction. I did bring along a cable that you can use to connect your computer to the wall, and it won't let anything bad go through there. If you plug this piece of baler twine on the wall and the other end in the computer, nothing bad will come through there. So if you have internet, it must be filtered. No one should be exempt from this. There are different levels of filtering. The Orthodox Jews have a basic kosher phone. Some more liberal Jews have filtered internet. We sell scratch and dent appliances among our building materials, and some of those appliances have a Sabbath mode on. The Orthodox Jews do not allow work that creates on the Sabbath. This includes lighting a fire or even closing a switch. If they use their fridge on the Sabbath, and it's in Sabbath mode, the light won't come off on when they open the door. If they want to use the oven, they can't cook food. It just keeps an even, warm temperature all Sabbath day long. When they want to ride an elevator, they can't press a button to ride the elevator. They have Sabbath elevators that stop at every floor. The door opens automatically, closes automatically. And we would think that's a bunch of nonsense to us, but they take their Sabbath seriously. They take the filtering seriously. Even the government and non-Christians are aware of the addictions and the dangers of smartphones and the internet. Shouldn't we Christians be more concerned than they are? Accountability software. There's accountability software that shares available. It shares automatically generated reports for websites, how often they're visited, how long. But it's only useful if it's monitored and corrective measures are taken if red flags are raised. Does your business present a Christian testimony who all interact? In our business, we sell oil-based driveway sealer. We pump it into the tank for the customers, just like gas. We meter. Most of those customers are Irish gypsies or English gypsies. Some of them quote scriptures, or they have scripture on their vehicle or on their business card. The kingdom image they hope to present is for business gain, but it's that image is spoiled by their conduct or their actions. In fact, most of those customers cannot be trusted. One of them even told me once that you can't trust any of us except me, and I'll take you if I can. But I do know some try hard to live for Jesus, so maybe they're trying harder than I am. Are we being a light to the world, to the ones living in darkness? What do the people see in our advertising, our literature, our landscape, or our buildings? Is there pride in our heart because it looks big and fancy? Is there pride in our heart because it looks humble? But what music do you hear on the sound system, or what are they hearing, or over your whole system? What is the address of your employees? Whose kingdom is your business promoting? Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. Customers should experience that you and your employees really love the world by the attitudes given off by all of you. They will remember how you made them feel. Do they desire to be part of the kingdom that your business stands for? What is the price? What price do you pay for the advantage of hiring a non-Christian driver? In our pursuit of convenience, too many of our people have reduce the standards for a taxi driver to that of having a driver's license and a pulse. So often our youth pay the price for the exposure of those who take advantage of their innocence. This is a direct quote from Manny Silk at Free Indeed. Manny Silk and Paul King from Free Indeed both agreed they deal a lot with boys, troubled youth, from this related low-quality taxi drivers. They can tell you many sad and horrific accounts. Low wages often attract low-quality drivers, although wages alone is not a good measuring stick. We cannot afford to hire drivers with low standards. We may use the excuse there is not enough, there's a shortage. They're out there. They may be doing something else at the time. There's a lot of idle time when we travel or when the youth travel. And the devil likes idle time. He likes bad influences. He will provide the peer pressure and the temptation. Strong Christian drivers with strong Christian convictions that hold your youth and your employees accountable are worth their own weight in gold. What influences do you impose on your youth by the environment you permit your crew working long distance from home? Example is the first one. Does your dress or your behavior change when you leave the community? Do you send your youth out alone on the job site and throw them in a shark tank of low morals to fend for themselves? Some dads won't let their boys work long distance, including me, if they're young, because of the temptations that are out there. But if you have a reputation of having a safe moral place for them to work, I might consider. My son wanted to drive a tractor for a local custom harvester, and I called his boss and said, can you provide, promise me that you will provide a safe moral place for my son to work, because I was concerned, and he assured me that he will do the best he can. Our rules and expectations clearly stated before they depart. I would suggest written rules, have a copy for everyone, make sure they read it before they leave. Is accountability addressed when they return home? Take the time for a debriefing when they come home. Did they behave? Is there consequences? Do they get to go again? Do you send along a mature or stable chaperone, an older single? Maybe is music permitted in the vehicle or on the job site? Or what music is it? Hopefully not the type that the devil likes to hear. Wouldn't it be better if they could be singing Christian songs? What happens off the clock in the evening when they're alone? Are men alone in the motel rooms with TV and internet? Maybe spend a little time, more money, and rent an Airbnb or something where the whole group can be together rather than in a cheap hotel or a sleazy place. Maybe have them cook their own meals. Maybe they can grill the burgers you send along. Or is someone appointed for morning devotions? There's some local charities like Mennonite Disaster, Christian Aid, Storm Aid. They have a structure. They have morning devotions, and they have lights out at 10 o'clock. They have quiet times. Couldn't you make this a standard for your crew? Is church attendance arranged if gone over the weekend? My opinion is it's not really the best thing to have them gone over the weekend, but make sure you know what they're doing. Maybe they could go to a community similar to yours. So I want to close with just one more thought. If you could see your employees 1,000,000 years from now, where would they be? Would you see them looking like the most horrible creature imaginable? Would they be withering in the pain in the confines of hell? Surely you would think, why didn't I try a little harder? Or would they be the most glorious creature imaginable, living eternal joyous bliss forever?